Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week we're joined by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello and welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Hello to you too, Joe, and glad to be here again.
Good, good. Just want everyone to know who's listening or watching this, you can ask a question, submit to news@indianapublicmedia.org for any of our guests, our mayor, throughout the month. Let's just start. Mayor Bennett, if you don't mind, as always, with a COVID-19 update, of course, lots to talk about. I know Vigo County is in the orange state metric. Now, this was Friday. I know Monday was Labor Day, so there was no dashboard. Today's hasn't come out yet. This airs on Wednesday, so things are always changing. But right. We're still seeing the state averaging about 4,300 cases a day, kind of numbers that seemed like it was after Christmas with hospitalizations. What's the situation there in Vigo County right now?
Yeah, I just got an update today for over the weekend, basically. And we had been running about close to 100. I think one day it was 88, one day it was a little over 100, and then a couple of 90s. A couple of days we're down a little bit, so that's encouraging, but it's the weekend and you never know the timing of when those test results come back. So it's hard to say which days or, you know, what's going on there, but it's not growing, but it's got up to that 100, which is a lot bigger than what it was. We were in single digits for many, many weeks there. So the numbers continue to be up there high. I know that I talked to a doctor yesterday that I ran into, and he said that Union Hospital had 57 patients in and about 17 of them on ventilators, which is, that's back to those old numbers, you know, when we had the original peak last year. So my guess is, and my take is, that we're kind of in the middle or somewhere close to the middle of the peak here. You know, a lot of people have told me an 8 to 9 week peak is something we should expect for sure, based on what's happened in other states and other countries. And so looking at when our numbers started going up, I'm hopeful that that's really true, that we're kind of halfway through that. And I hope that in the next couple of weeks, we'll start seeing those numbers go down. I'd love to see, you know, 10 or 20 a day versus 100 a day. Our healthcare workers are already stressed out and, you know, overworked the way it is. They have been this whole time. Nothing really changed for them. And now this peak is just a terrible thing. And so when we get to the point where more people either have got it, you know, got the COVID and have antibodies, or people get their vaccinations, you know, we just got to keep squeezing those numbers just to shrink them. And so I'm hopeful that we'll start to see, you know, a downturn in those numbers here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, some of the reporting we've done, you know, has confirmed cases are 60% less likely to result in death, 72% less likely to result in hospitalization if the person is fully vaccinated. And it just seems like, you know, kind of reached this point and then just stopped. Maybe the state's about half vaccinated. Why did that stop?
You know, and we've talked about this here before. I get asked by the media this a lot. I get asked people on the street saying, what do you think it is? I think it's a combination of things. I think there's just some people that are skeptical of putting something in their body like that. I mean, they're kind of like that across the board. They don't do any vaccinations. Then I think there's the politics of it. Some people are scared of just what they hear or what they read on the internet or on a social media site. And that's why I always tell people, talk to your doctor. Don't listen to all that national news. Don't listen to all the things you read on social media, Facebook or wherever else. Ask your doctor about, you know, get over your fears with that. I mean, people should get vaccinations like they do any other kind of vaccinations. But there just seems to be a big segment of our society that's either for political reasons or for just concerns out of the medical side of it. Hasn't been out there long enough. You know, it's not been FDA approved very long, those kind of things. There's just a large group of people like that are just kind of waiting and hope they don't get COVID, I guess, and waiting until more data comes out about, you know, the safety and how many you're going to have. You know, that's another question I'm hearing from people. three, four, five, you know, how many doses are you going to have to take? And so people, I think a lot of them thought one and done, and now they're hearing it's not. And so that's scaring a few more out there who were thinking about getting the vaccination and they're choosing not to do it yet. I don't know. You know, I hear a lot of things out there, but it falls into those two camps primarily. Yeah.
You know, we were under much stricter restrictions, you know, last year. Is the governor doing what he can? I know it's a tough situation, but how would you say the governor is doing in this situation right now?
Yeah, I think he's still doing well, you know, and I appreciated what he's done all along. I understand why we had more restrictions last year. There were so many more unknowns and trying not to overwhelm the systems. All that made perfect sense. Now here in round two, if you will, with the big peak, you know, he's decided to let local municipalities make those decisions. So instead of having it just come from above, knowing that rural counties weren't hit as hard as the metropolitan areas, or at different times they were hit that way. It took a while for it to get to those more rural areas. So it does make sense to me to leave it up to county commissioners, health departments, school corporations. I mean, mayors are pretty limited in their power on that. I know I've talked about this on here too. I can only do a short-term thing for the city only. Well, we can't have, that doesn't do me any good to put some mandates in place just for the city and not be in the county. And so I really think the commissioners in every county are the key players in that, along with the health department. And so the governor's given that power up to the 92 counties to make those local decisions. And some counties are all over it, and other counties are saying, no way, not us. And so there's good and bad in both ways that it's been approached, you know, with the top down or the local effect. It's like some places are just don't want the pushback. Other places are going to the extreme. And so that would have been expected. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. But I really appreciate the governor giving that power up to the counties, because then you can deal with it locally. You can have your meetings, have your public meetings, and listen to the feedback you get and make the best decision for the community, I think is good. And it keeps us out of that one thing for everybody that typically doesn't always work.
And there was a local decision made about the Labor Day parade. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the decision-making that went into that and the cancellation of that?
They spent a lot of time trying to decide, and we're really worried about kids who can't be vaccinated yet, and just older people, you know, coming out, the retirees and other people who come out to the parade. And so they reached out to me and asked me my opinion. And I said, well, you know, people understand being outdoors, that's much safer than being indoors, obviously, but you're going to have thousands of people lining a parade route, and, you know, a couple thousand people in the parade itself. It's one of the largest parades in Indiana. And it's like, you know, it just wasn't a good environment with the numbers going up the way they were. And so they made the decision, the local building trades and unions, to just say, you know what, let's hold off for another year to not put people in a bad spot by gathering in a very large group like that. So, you know, I understand it. They had a parade up at Little Italy Festival in Clinton on Friday night. There were other parades going on in the state, and I know some places have canceled or delayed there. So once again, local decision, the local laborers decided they didn't think it was a good thing to do. And, you know, and I support that.
You know, we had a good talk last week, what we always do, with Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup on the, this was on about the 5,000 Afghan refugees coming to Camp Atterbury. You know, he saw as well as an opportunity, as business leaders were coming to him to talk about helping to fill the job void. So a week later here talking with you, just curious your take on the Afghan refugees coming to Indiana. What's the job market like there in Terre Haute? And would the city welcome immigrants once they're free to go?
Yeah, you know, I'm all about immigration, and as long as that's done legally, I'm fine with all that. I didn't know anything about these Afghan refugees till last week, and I've seen several reports about that since. I've not had an opportunity to reach out to the governor's office or anybody else to say what's the vetting process? How's this going to work? You know, what, how are these people just here temporarily and then they're going to move on out of state? Or are they going to stay in Indiana? I just don't have all those answers. I've heard things, but I don't know what's true and what's not. But for people that, you know, have been vetted through the normal immigration process and they're available to, you know, move into a community, you know, I have no problem with that at all. We have plenty of jobs that are open for all the people that are already here, plus anybody else that might come in, because we're having a difficult time, our employers, to fill these jobs. And so I want the pool to be bigger, our overall statewide pool and our Terre Haute pool. And so whatever mechanisms we can use to make the pool bigger, I am good with. I just, you know, I just don't know enough about the process here and how this is going to play out and what the vetting process is. As long as it's done the right way, you know, I am fine with that.
Yeah, and from what I understand from Mayor Lineup, most of these who have come here have visas, and it's basically would be the same way if they took a commercial airline, yeah. You know, is the way he described it and uh-huh. just came to the U.S.
And if that's the case, which, you know, I've not, once again, had time to do any research in that yet, but that's exactly right. We have people coming here from lots of countries to do the same thing, and there's plenty of jobs available. So, you know, more power to them. If they're going to stay in Indiana and that's kind of the way this is going to play out, then, you know, happily welcome anybody, any immigrants. But, you know, something will have to happen with those folks. They're not going to stay on that base. And so it'll just be interesting to see how quickly the system works, how quickly government can process that.
Yeah. I don't think we had a chance to talk about the U.S. Census numbers that came out since the last time we talked. I know Mayor Hamilton in Bloomington just told us that he didn't believe they were true, that they were taken during a pandemic. They were taken during a town that is known for university that told that entire population to leave and then start counting people in that city. And I, of course, Terre Haute has Indiana State University. And I just wanted to get your take on Terre Haute census numbers that came out.
So I don't believe them. You know, I kind of expected, I didn't expect any big increase. I expected it to be pretty flat is what I thought it would be. And so having since thought about it more and kind of looked in a little deeper dive as far as you can go, one, I would agree that it was happened during the pandemic. So I don't think the door-to-door activity was and counting on everybody to mail them in was what we normally go through every 10 years. Number two, I guarantee you our university population didn't get counted properly. I mean, when you have ISU that has, you know, 14,000 students, give or take, and Rose Hulman that has a couple of thousand, and St. Mary of the Woods, I know we're talking about, you know, a lot of folks that weren't here and so couldn't have participated in that. I think they're always undercounted a bit anyway. There's no doubt about that, but even more undercounted in this census. When I look at our sewer bills, just as a good example for me, for our residential, our numbers are actually up a little bit, as in a few more accounts and more usage. So that tells me we didn't go from a lot of four-person households or whatever to one-person households. Our household numbers stayed about the same with a slight increase. And our usage is up. And so those people are still here. They just didn't get counted. So the difficulty is fixing that because it's nearly impossible. I mean, I guess you could sue the United States government, but that's not going to be effective. I don't know what the answer is, but I definitely believe we were undercounted. I think that we are pretty small growth, flatline situation and not a drop.
And if I have these numbers right, it looks like in the past decade, it went down about 150 or so.
Yeah, and that's pretty flatline. I know that knowing that that's the number they came up with, I think it's better than that. And so, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that's the follow-up question, too, that I asked Mayor Hamilton. And, you know, he said about the same as you did. I mean, I think they want to try to do an appeals process of somewhat, mm-hmm. but because the numbers affect federal funding. I mean, they do so much more than just say, this is how many people we have in the city.
Right. I think that some people forget that sometimes, that there's a whole bunch of formulas out there and it's all based on population, and even losing 150 people, you're going to lose some revenue that we get in for the HUD, for housing, for they use population for a lot of disbursement of MVH funds and LRS funds and a variety of other things. And so that all those are part of the both state formulas and federal formulas. And so, you know, you want it to be accurate. That's all. And if the numbers went down, then so be it. But I just don't believe they did. I'm not seeing any signs out here other than, you know, people point to the school corporation. Our numbers are down in the schools, but a lot of those kids are going to surrounding counties. They've made decisions to go to smaller schools or be homeschooled, and COVID had a lot to do with that. And so I think those numbers are going to come back later. And then we'll look 2 or 3 years from now and say, well, boy, look at that. All these numbers are up, but the population is dropping. You know, it just, they're still out there. They just didn't get counted is what I believe.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, I don't know if you have much information, but always get a little casino update. Lucy Luck Gaming, from what I in reporting, seeking an appeal to open the casino license there. And I know September 22nd, you said last month is the deadline. So there's still a few weeks left, but do you have any updates, or are you hearing any other applicants?
The only two updates I would give is that there is a hearing this week for Lucy Luck, in front of the administrative law judge. Kind of like an arbitration or whatever you might call it. I don't think they're going to solve it on Friday, but they'll have a chance to present their cases. And so I don't think it'll, by the end of this week, I'm not going to say that everything's going to be figured out, but at least that will occur this week. Then there'll be whatever the next step is. And then when everybody who wants to, you know, put in for the license, then on the 22nd, the Gaming Commission will have both of these things going on at the same time. What's going to happen with Lucy Luck? What's going to happen with these people who are then putting a bid in? That I don't know how that process will shake out. My guess is, and kind of what I've heard behind the scenes, they'll have to resolve the Lucy Luck thing before they're going to award a new license. That doesn't mean they can't move down the path parallel, but there's not going to be a final decision made until we see what happens with Greg Gibson's proposal and what they're going to do with that before they award somebody else something. And that's the way it should be. They need to get that resolved.
Update on the police station.
Yeah, moving along. We had a little bit of a delay on carpet. You know, you know how that market is out there. When you order things right now, sometimes it takes a while to get it. And so we're going to move in on October 18th. That's our date right now. And I think that's a firm date. We're going to actually have some people in and out of the building prior to that, but we're going to move in on that day. So a little over a month from now, we'll be in there. It looks great. I'm very happy with it. I get a lot of positive feedback from the public. They love the deal that we were able to make on that and get more space for less cost than what we were going to have to pay to build something bigger. And just that it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility with everything brand new in it, all new furniture, you know, all new technology. Really happy for the police department that they're going to get this, and just it's a great asset to downtown too. So I'm really excited about that project, and we're closing in on that move-in date.
And we've been talking, of course, with everybody about budgets. Where's Terre Haute in the budget? Has your administration presented a budget to City Council yet?
We have submitted it. It's in Gateway, like, you know, like we would normally do to advertise it. We have the public hearing last week with no discussion. And then we'll have a couple of meetings here later this month where we'll go through the entire budget with the council, and then they will vote on it in the October meeting. I don't anticipate any big pushback of any kind. It's the seventh straight year of a balanced budget that we've proposed and followed through with. So I'm excited about that. We were able to spend a little bit more in a few areas. We had to be a little cautious in some revenues. We've been told by the state that, you know, there's a delay on some of the local option income tax money that will hit us next year. So we were cautious with that, but it's a good budget. It's balanced, and we're not going to have any cutbacks of any kind, and just continue to move forward. So I'm very happy with the budget that we proposed to the council. Should get it passed with no issues, my hope.
Well, we're down to just a couple minutes, and I always like to leave the last few minutes with you with any special announcements or things that you'd like to let everybody in on.
You know, we're reaching that fall time of the year, so a lot of festivals and things going on. So I love being outdoors in the fall, and hopefully other people will too. Just going back to the COVID thing, consult your doctor in order to get your vaccination. Make sure that's what you need to do in your family. It's a good decision that you can make, because the more people that we can get vaccinated, obviously, will help to bring those numbers down. That's a big thing for me. I don't know what happens. We've reached that plateau, as you mentioned. So somehow we got to kind of move it up. Even if it's a handful of people, that's better than nobody else going through the process. Hopefully more information will come out. So that's really going into the fall here with all these outdoor events. Just want people to be cautious, have fun, enjoy life, but use common sense with these kind of things. I think that we're wrapping up our construction projects, so we're already starting to plan for next year. I'm putting my list together and excited about that. We're going to have a big list for next year again. So get the budget approved and be able to start implementing things after the first of the year. It just, everything goes through cycles like that with us as mayors. And we're kind of in that planning stage again now. And I really looking forward to the convention center opening next year. We'll be in the police station. We're going to find a new home for our police and fire museum. And there's just so many exciting things going on that I'm really bullish on Terre Haute right now and very happy about where we're at. And so, looking forward to enjoying the fall as we gear up for a busy 2022.
All right. Thanks again for your time. Appreciate it. And boy, hard to believe, but I guess I'll see you in October.
I know. It goes way too fast.
It does. Thanks, Thank Joe. You. Thank you.